Good morning, Wake Up HCC. Welcome to the first HOKO Live of 2020. It still feels weird to say 2020 to me. It's I'm still getting used to that new year. And I don't know if you guys have read this on the internet, but this is one of those years where apparently you want to make sure that you write out the whole year 2020. You know, people were talking about if you write a document, you put your signature. This is the one year where you want to put all four numbers 2020, not just 20, because then people can easily change the date apparently, and they can add a 2019. Or, you know, they can add that missing two numbers, allegedly, I guess, missing two numbers to the documents. So good advice to just keep in mind, because I know that I got very comfortable just, and I'm very used to just putting the last two numbers of the date. So it's just a transition. It's just, you know, a new year. It's and if everybody is like me, the new year, I was just, as I was riding the car with my kids this morning, dropping them at school, I was explaining this to them. I was like, you know, if you think about it, nothing really changes, right? Nothing really, really changes. It's a new day. It's just like every other day. There's no big something in the sky, or, you know, nothing really changes that indicates that it's a new year. However, we feel it differently. Like we feel different as people, as humans. We take it as this new opportunity. If there were things that were kind of like setting us back, or that we were not happy about, we see this new year as a new opportunity. You know, every day is a new opportunity, but for some reason we want to take a little bit more encouragement, maybe a little bit more passion, a little bit more like a little push with this new year. We just see it as a new chapter, and we start setting, you know, the new year's resolutions and the new goals and things like that. And to talk about that, I have today in studio with me Carla Johnston, and she is the manager of community outreach and partnerships at Maryland University of Integrated Health. And welcome, Carla. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
And you know, it's this idea. I was talking about this, as I said, with my kids this morning, and I was like, there's nothing grand if you think about it, right? There's nothing really huge. There's no big change. It's not like suddenly there's magic in the air or anything like that. Like, it really isn't. Mm-hmm. However, inside, you know, in our hearts, in our minds, a new year, many times a new month, many times a new birthday, just has this almost magical way of putting some things into the front of our minds and this perspectives and just really pulls us into seeing things that maybe we're not so happy about. And a lot of us struggle with nutrition. A lot of us struggle with weight. A lot of us, one of the things that comes to the very forefront of our minds is usually a New Year's resolution is like a synonym of diet, right? You have to look at your diet. You have to get a gym membership, and you have to lose weight. Like, it's almost starting to get like a negative connotation in my mind, at least, yeah. You know, to think of it that way, because it takes away that magic. It takes away that magic and puts a lot of pressure. It's like, okay, it's the beginning of the year. Well, guess what? You better get yourself together. Right. Like, that's, you know? And it's like, why are we doing that to ourselves? I don't understand why we are looking at it in such a negative way when, as I was saying earlier, every day is a new opportunity.
It is.
It doesn't have to be a new year. If there's something that you want to change, if there's something that you're not happy about, you don't have to wait until 2021. You know, we're already the sixth day of January, so too bad you missed the boat.
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, you can start literally today, like right now. So, you know, we're going to dive into that idea of why we set New Year's resolutions and why we look at them. But before we do that, Carla, I always like to get to know my guests a little bit before we dive into why they're doing what they're doing. So if you can just just share a little bit about who Carla is and what inspired you to do the work that you do today?
Yeah, thank you. So I spent a lot of the early part of my career in hospitals in education. Mm-hmm. And I really, after that, wanted to delve more into what is health and wellness and what does that look like for everyone?
I love that. Health and wellness.
Health
we'll get
and
back
wellness.
To that. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, health and wellness doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have a challenge with your health. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for those that have diabetes, there is a healthy and wellness way to look at how you're going to move forward. And what I love about what you said about the resolution and making goals, that's what I really love to have a conversation with people about, because I feel like we make these really big, grand goals, and then if we don't achieve them, you feel like you didn't accomplish anything when really you have all these small successes that you're building on.
We feel like failures. We really do, you know? I mean, I've been there. I've been there where, the statistics, I forget what they say, but I think that by March, it's crazy because by January 16th, I think is the date where a good percent of the people are just going to forget about the resolutions altogether.
Right.
It takes only like 16 days and you know, after the year has begun that you decided you were going to change your life forever to just give it up. And I think it's because of what I was talking about, you know, because of that pressure that we put on ourselves that it has to be perfect. Like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. There's no room for mistakes. There's no room for me to fall off one day and have a bad day. And it just has to be right. Or we're putting so much pressure and we're actually doing it perfectly that by the 16th day, we're just so burned up that we can't take it anymore.
Yeah. And I think for me, what I see, even with myself and then working with folks, is when you make these big goals, and you said it perfectly, Chris, what can I change? What is it that I need to change? Mm-hmm. Rather than what am I doing well and what would I like to expand upon? And when you do that, you're taking small steps of what you're already doing well and incorporating those.
Mm.
What I find sometimes with resolutions is we have these few minutes before the year changes over and we're really excited about all these new possibilities.
Right.
And we write down all these things or we talk about all these things and then life starts to take over and we get busy and it's like, well, that was great. I'll just put that off. Rather than what am I doing well, what is it that I'd like to achieve, and what are those small things I can do? Because as you mentioned, every day isn't going to go to plan.
Right.
And so how do I shift that plan so that I can continue on with that goal and make it sustainable and make it fun as well?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I love what you said because, you know, one thing that I might be completely off on this, but one thing that I tell my kids is like everybody, whether they know it or not, is already on a diet. Everybody is on a diet. Like, you don't have to be doing a specific meal plan to be on a diet. Everybody's on a diet because what is a diet? A diet is the food that you are choosing to eat. And as far as last time I checked, everybody was eating every day. So, you know, everybody already has some sort of meal plan. And if you're concerned with your weight, maybe the plan that you are using right now is just not the right one for your body. Maybe you need to tweak things here and there to make it a little more, like you were saying, sustainable. You know, it's not that you have to stop eating everything that you're eating, because I know I can't do it, like cold turkey. If I put in my mind, I love desserts, I love sweets. That's like my one of my weak spots. I've come to realize chips and salsa are another one. But, you know, if I put it in my mind that I cannot have sweets or that chocolate is bad or that ice cream is bad, cake is bad, then I crave it even more.
Yeah.
I want it even more. It's like I am doing this to myself and it becomes this battle against myself where it's like I really want a piece of chocolate. And it goes in my mind, this whole conversation, yes, but you really should not have it, you know, and then I look at myself in a negative way and I'm like blaming myself and judging myself and shaming myself for my choices. And it just becomes this pattern. And usually what wins is the chocolate cake, you know, and I end up having it and then I feel bad about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I eat that? I knew I shouldn't have. And then I try to go and compensate by exercising even harder or for longer periods of time or, you know, just really being bad to myself because I made this one bad choice, this one bad time, and, well, therefore, I might be a bad person who just can't control herself, right? Do you see that a lot?
I do, and the word choice really springs up to mind because if you're already thinking, I'm really bad for wanting this, and then you keep talking yourself out of why you want it, and then you finally have it and then you feel bad about having it, there's just a no-win in that scenario.
Right.
And as you mentioned, for those that are really looking to monitor their weight, the goal is really what are those things that are going to do, in my mind, that are going to support health. Once you do that, the weight will adjust accordingly. And that's why a one diet fits all. You know, we have lots of diets that become in the news, especially at this time of year.
Yeah.
You read any newspaper or anything on the social media is loaded with it, TV, radio. We're all talking about this diet did this and this diet did this. What's not sustainable about that is if it's not the right thing for you and isn't supporting you, then it's just not going to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what I like to say in addition with nutrition, the way I like to view it is nutrition and nourishment. So with nourishment, by that I mean, of course, what we're eating. Nourishment for me is also where am I getting my social interaction? Where am I getting emotional support? Where am I getting some physical activity and movement? Am I spending some time outside or am I constantly stressed? So for me, nourishment is a much bigger word. And when we talk in those terms, it's much easier to set goals. It's much easier to say, you know what, in addition to what we're putting on our plate, what else can we do? What are those small things that we can do that can support that? Because they all build on one another.
Right.
So if I'm feeling better, then yeah, I might have that chocolate cake, but it might be a much smaller piece.
Right.
Or that day, I may say, you know, I did think I want it, and maybe I don't want it now. And then that builds on, oh, well, what else can I do? Mm. Well, now I'm sleeping better. I'm less stressed. That builds on. So it becomes a much bigger, more happy way to approach it rather than I can't have this, I can't have that. What can I add in?
Right.
Right?
And I love that you talked about nourishment, and I love the way that we're looking at, you know, diet, and you said this at the beginning, health and wellness, right? Because it's not just, we many times think of food as, you know, the way that we either gain weight or lose weight. That's all we see.
Yeah.
That's what we're trained to see. You know, food, depending on what you eat, you either lose weight or you gain weight. But that's not really the purpose of food.
No.
It's nourishment, as you were saying.
It
and
is.
You went even bigger with the idea of nourishment, looking at all of these other aspects that come with it. So can we kind of just maybe unpack that word nourishment a little bit more and what it really means?
Yeah, so for me, when I talk with people and even for myself, so with nourishment, as you said, what we desire and what we do, what we make plans for, and that's why nourishment is a much bigger word. For example, to sit down on a Sunday afternoon and say, okay, this week I'm going to do this, this, and this. Well, without a plan, that gets really difficult when you're, as you mentioned, you're in the morning dropping your children off of school, then you're going to work, then you're getting ready for the day, you're going home, you have all of these extra things. So if I haven't made a plan, what's really making that shift? So if I make a plan that this week I'm going to cook once and then have some leftover so that I'm not starving and having to go to a vending machine, that could be one goal. And by doing that, I've planned ahead, I'm preparing the foods that I want to eat. It can be economical because I'm not running to get a takeaway meal or a vending meal or whatever that is, because when we're hungry, we're hungry.
Yes.
We don't always make the most appropriate choices when we're hungry because we just want to eat. And so by doing that, that builds on itself like, I'm feeling better. So maybe today, instead of parking my car here, I'll park a little farther away and now I'm getting some extra steps in. And once you do that, then you realize that maybe I'm not as stressed at the end of the day. Or, you know, we talk about the roller coaster of energy, that 3 o'clock where you feel like you need to take a nap. You find that less often you may need to do that. And if you do, it's just a noticing of how you can make those changes. And so for me, when you add all of those other components to nourishment, you set yourself up for success. Because if that's the day I have the cake, like you said, I might walk further away, or I may take a loop around the parking lot before I get in my car, or some other way that I can say, okay, I can balance that out. Because at the end of the day, it's really about balance.
Now, New Year's resolutions, everybody's thinking about it. Everybody's, you know, I mean, like I said, it's the 6th day of January. I'm sure that we're six days in to this idea of New Year's resolutions. As I was telling you earlier, the rate for failure with New Year's resolution is incredible. Like 70% of people will drop their resolutions really by the 16th day. So we have 10 more days, you know, and a good amount of people are going to just drop their resolutions. How can we look at those better? How can we, you know, maybe sit down tonight at home or tomorrow or even this coming weekend? I mean, like I said, every day is a new opportunity. It doesn't have to be any special date per se, right? It can just be literally tomorrow, today, this next weekend, whenever you decide, whenever you're ready and you're just ready to make that commitment, because I feel that commitment is a really strong word that needs to be taken in consideration when we're looking at the resolutions, right? How can we make those in a way that's sustainable? Because I also feel that maybe many times we just set these huge, big goals and we try really hard to make them work, but then we fall short, and that's why we just decide to stop doing that, because it's like, well, I tried, but this is too hard for me.
Right.
You know, this is just too much for me. There's no way I can start going to the gym every day for an hour. It's just too much. There's no way I can just get rid of carbs. I love my carbs and I need to have my carbs and I'm just not going to give them up. And I gave them away and it was good for 2 weeks, but I can't do it anymore. You
know,
how can we make them so that we can actually sustain them? You know, you said the word sustainable earlier. How can we make them so that they're not these huge monsters coming at us, just kind of like saying, you need to change, you need to change, but rather we make them our friends so that we walk together hand in hand?
So what comes to mind, and I've had this conversation many times, because at the end of the year, people adjust as well. And so if you're planning a big, long trip in your car and you realize that the journey that you've just selected is full of traffic, so you readjust. And so the same with goals. If you're looking at that goal and you're dreading what that is, for me, that's saying that maybe there's some area there. What is the ultimate goal? Because if going to the gym, as you mentioned, 5 days a week, and you're already dreading it in the third week, perhaps that needs to be readjusted. Because in order for things to be sustainable, it really does have to be something that we want to do. Even if, let's say, we have someone who really has weight challenges where they want to lose a significant amount of weight.
Right.
It's one step at a time. And without sustainability, that forward momentum can't go. So to say that you're going to go to the gym 5 days a week when you haven't gone at all, that to me, as you said, there's just no fun in that. There's no joy in that. And there's no success if you already didn't want to do it. So what could you do? What are those physical activities? It doesn't have to be that you go to the gym to be physically active. Maybe there's a social class that you want to take. Maybe there's a new activity that's physical that you are going to get out of your comfort zone and go, you know what? Maybe there's a dance class, or maybe there's something you can do with a partner and you're going to go out and walk, whatever that is. When you're looking forward to it, that's where it becomes sustainable. And then readjusting as you go. I may sit down and say, oh, this is the goal that I really want to do. And looking at it, and I'm realizing, oh, I'm already behind. Well, what can I do to readjust that? If it's something that is much bigger, I say chunk it down. Make it very small. I'd rather do three things really well than to keep reminding myself of the one thing that I'm not doing well.
And, you know, that's a much positive, and like you were saying, I think inspiring way of really looking at this, because when we fail, I know that I'm really hard on myself. Like, I am that kind of person who, when I fail, I'm like, it just keeps going around in circles in my mind. And why did you do that? And you know it, and you know better. Like, that's what I tell myself a lot. And I've come to realize that a lot of people say that. It's like, I knew that I shouldn't have done that. And I knew that there was a better way, but, you know, but, and that's where we get stuck. We're stuck in that, well, I know there's a better way, but this is where I am, and this is who I am. And then that brings a negative feeling to ourselves. Earlier in the conversation, you said health and wellness. And I know we've been talking about nutrition with this mindset of losing weight. But we also said that eating is not necessarily just for gaining or losing weight, right? Like, it has, we talked about the word nourishment. So can we talk about, you know, food and its part, the part that it has on our health and wellness?
A lot of what we talk about when I work with those that are coming in and asking about nutrition, and we do expand that definition to nourishment. So if I'm someone that tends to get really stressed mm-hmm. and that is my way of coping, that's a way of looking at health and wellness in another way, that what I'm putting on my plate isn't really nourishing me. It's a knee-junk reaction to what I'm stressed about. At the same token, if I'm constantly feeling like I'm running out of energy, I may reach for those things that are going to give me that initial boost of energy, and by that I mean sugar sometimes, which sustainably is not the best way to get energy through nourishment. And so by looking and expanding what the health and wellness is, what is it that you need to be nourished? And when I talk about nourishment and nutrition, I also look at hydration. A lot of us minimize the importance of hydration. And sometimes that thirst signal gets confused for a hunger signal. So we're thinking we're hungry when in actuality we're really thirsty. And in the winter months, in the summer, a lot of times people are really good about being hydrated. They'll carry the water bottle. In winter months, sometimes I see that less and less often where people are being hydrated.
Right.
So to your point, I think really what is sustaining you? How are you feeling? At the end of the day, are you just so hungry that you can't even function, or having difficulty going to sleep, or you're waking up and you're not feeling rested? Those are all signs that we look at of what is it that we can do to increase that. And that's where that one diet fits all doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you mentioned, some people do need, and carbs have become a really, depending on who you talk to, it has a connotation. And then I also talk about the emotionality of food. Mm-hmm. So there are foods that we resonate with. They bring memories for us. It may be that we grew up eating those foods, or this is what my family enjoys together. So how do I incorporate that into my new goals as well? So I'm not going to throw everything out. But again, how can I switch that up? How can I add some things? With nourishment or nutrition, the first thing people say is, I know I have to give up this, or I know this is bad.
Right.
And then there's a no win with that. And so I like to set it up where we can win. So what can we add? And we may add more so that we have less of those others, and maybe not get rid of those others altogether right now. And you may or may not decide later on to do that. It's just another way of staying positive in this.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to mention too, when you were speaking, which is so true of all of us, myself included, we have this list of things that we want to accomplish.
Right.
And we cross them off and we do that. And then we start a new list, where I encourage people sometimes to keep that list out and remind yourself, look at all that you have done for that one time where you didn't do that one goal.
Hmm.
So instead of concentrating on that one thing right now I didn't do, which we can adjust and reset, to look at all, oh, I did do that. Oh, I did that as well. Oh, I forgot about that, because we forget about all we've done. So I think that was a brilliant reminder that it's a both and conversation for me. It's not an all or nothing.
And, you know, I love that, because as you said, we do just look at, we focus more on the negatives than we focus on the positives. And that's where we get lost, because we lose energy when we're looking at what we did not do or what we did not accomplish,
right,
instead of reminding ourselves of and grabbing energy really from the things that we've already accomplished and feeling that, yes, we can do it. You know, we have a record. It's what I tell my kids all the time. I'm like, if they're struggling in school with grades, I'm like, well, have you been able to go from one grade to the next grade, or are you stuck in first grade still? And they're like, no, mom, I'm already, you know, seventh grade and 10th grade or whatever. And I'm like, exactly. So you had struggles, you know, you went through struggles, but yet here you are, you know, still going one grade after another grade and conquering it with all those struggles, you know.
Right.
I don't want to use the word despite, because I think that it's we are stronger when we understand that we have overcome things and still make accomplishments. So I don't put the struggles to the side. I actually say, you know, encompassing all of it and looking at all of it and embracing all of that, we continue to move forward.
And that's a lot of time where the learning is. Mm. So if there is a struggle, where is the learning? Because what I thought I knew, or what I thought I wanted, or what I thought I had done, may not be what actually happened. happen. And that's where the learning is. So I love that it's a both end conversation. And is it easy all the time?
No.
No. And it's not comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Because in order to make a change, I have to do something I hadn't done before.
Right.
So that's also part of the learning.
And I have to be honest with myself.
Yes.
I have to be very honest with myself. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things for everybody to do, to just look at themselves and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing really good. And without getting cocky, right? Saying I'm good at this. I'm really excelling over here. And I just need to improve over here.
Yeah.
Because this is where I see that there's still wiggle room to do even better.
Yes.
You kind of mentioned this, and I know we've talked about going to the gym and exercising and all of that, but we also know that mental health has a big part to do in all of this, and you kind of just like skip through a little bit, but I want to go back and look at those two things, because I think that nutrition, exercise, and mental health, to me at least, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
They're one thing. If you start working, there's so many studies out there that studies that say that to get rid completely of depression, all you have to do is start exercising, right? Like there's all of the benefits from exercising. Weight loss is one of them, but there's all those other benefits that go with your mental health. And then there's also studies saying that if you start paying attention to your mental health, then that's going to start trickling into your actual physical health, because you're going to feel inspired to go and exercise, or you're going to start making better decisions when it comes to nutrition and start losing weight, if that's what one of your goals. So I want to talk about that connection, right? And is there a better way, right? Is there the best way that we should look at start with nutrition, and then, you know, that's going to help the other two? Or we should definitely start with looking at the mental health, or is it just, do we look at all three and we take small steps in each one of them? Is there like a best formula for all?
I think that's a great question. And I look at everything like a circle. And where is it that I always say jump in the circle? And there is lots of research. I know there's a lot of buzz out there now about the microbiome and a healthy microbiome. And what research is really looking at is, what is the connection between the gut and the brain? Mm. So most of our immunity is in our gut, which a lot of people are really, so if you want good immunity, it starts with the gut. It starts with what you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great question, Chris, and one that's very unique to each individual. So if I'm someone right now who's just completely feeling overwhelmed, and to have a list of things to do adds to that overwhelm and could potentially add to that stress. So where is it that we can jump in the circle for that person? Is it that we can shift some things of what they're putting into their body, or maybe removing some things that they're putting into their body? Or is it for that person, part of reducing that stress is to get them moving just a little? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean signing up for 10K, unless that's what their goal is, but obviously it's going to be starting small. And so again, that builds on itself. So if I'm moving and I can reduce that stress a little bit, we also underestimate sleep in our health and wellness mm-hmm. all the time.
That's overrated is what we hear.
Yes. And it's the first thing that we put off because we have so many other things that we want to do. Sleep helps us reset everything. Mm. So if sleep is disrupted, maybe that's an area where we could target. That might be a gentler area for some folks. And so, or it may be that we're going to do one of each of those things. So depending on where you are, what I say in that circle, where you want to jump in, because once you jump in, as you said, each one is connected to the other. Nothing runs by itself. So if I start moving, then I decide, I think, I may want to eat something a little bit different, or I'm feeling a little better when I incorporate this, or let's say I'm now hydrated so I don't feel so tired, I don't feel so sluggish, and now my digestion is working optimally, and now that I'm sleeping better, my digestion's working better, now I feel like I can move more. So it's just, and also what I'd like to say as well is there are so many places to seek help these days, to really seek out and have someone work with you to figure that out, because the beautiful thing about where we are in this area also is that if you need assistance and you need resources, they're available. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you have to figure it all out. There's nothing worse than someone who's completely stressed out, having to feel like they have to do research on how to figure it out. There's always help.
So let's, to close out, we have a couple minutes left, but speaking of the resources, Maryland University of Integrative Health, can you tell us a little bit of the resources that people can find there?
Sure. So we're in a school here in Howard County with graduate programs. And then within that university, we have what we call the Natural Care Center. The Natural Care Center has appointments available for students, practitioners, and then private care practitioners. Mm-hmm. So if someone's seeking assistance for acupuncture or nutrition, or we also have yoga therapy there as well, we have community-based programs that are available at no charge that people can find on the website. And it's just another way to reach out and ask if you need that help, because sometimes I feel like that can be part of the overwhelm and stress.
Yeah.
I know I need to do something. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. And just having a conversation with a practitioner or someone who knows about that can help you with your plan, so you don't feel like you're doing it all on your own.
Can we let everybody know where to find you guys and the phone number to get in touch with you?
Sure. So the website would be muih.edu, and the Natural Care Center would be off the website. Mm-hmm. And the phone number is 410-888-9048.
And just to close today, Carla, it's been wonderful speaking with you. It's really been just, I've learned a lot. And it's, you kind of like gave me this hope, really. Like, that's how I'm feeling right now. It's like hopeful, because like I don't have to tackle all of it at once. I can find, as you were saying, my place in the circle and jump in where it still feels comfortable, it still feels good, but it's still at the same time kind of pushing me to go into a better way than the one that I am right now. So I'd love for you to close just with some words, just instilling that same feeling of hope to everybody that's listening today.
Yeah, so we all have goals and we all have things that we want to shift and change. And it's a both-end conversation. So take what you're doing well and embellish on those. And the things that you'd like to shift, you get to decide. And then on that road, if it's not going the way you're thinking, reset, readjust, and then congratulate yourself that you were able to do that.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. And as Carla was saying, you know, just recognizing that what you're doing is not working is something to be proud of, because I think that's the first step, recognition of what you're doing well and applauding yourself for that and continuing to do that and sticking with that. And then at the same time, recognizing where you could improve and just taking the steps or talking to somebody. Maybe that's the first step, to go and find somebody, talk to somebody who can help you see it in a different way and kind of like tweak things a little bit so you can start accomplishing your goals. So thanks, everybody, for joining us for this first live of the year 2020. And we will be back on Wednesday. Have a wonderful day. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.